On this episode of the Edge podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery interviews Sonu Ratra, co-founder and president of IT consulting and talent solutions organization Acrya, as well as the founder of Women Back to Work, a workforce reentry program for women. Leslie and Sonu discuss their shared passion for helping women succeed in business and why it's such an integral part of Sonu's life. They also touch on Sonu's experience with mentorship versus sponsorship, her valuable advice for women wanting to serve on boards, and the power of showing strength in the face of adversity. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie Vickery, CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and it is my pleasure to welcome Sonu Ratra to the Edge podcast, currently co-founder and president of Acrya and founder of Women Back to Work, which during this conversation, we will call WBW. Welcome, Sonu.
Hi, Leslie. Thank you for having me.
Sonu, this has been long in the making, so I'm so happy we were able to pull this off. We actually first met a couple of years ago during the Allegis Global Solutions Supplier Summit, where I presented on the topic of women in technology. I actually remember exactly where you were sitting and meeting, and we bonded immediately over a mutual passion and what seems like, I would say for both of us, a life mission to help women in business. Sonu, you have won many awards for both being an entrepreneur and helping women, including the Silicon Valley Leadership Group Celebration of Immigration, the Doer Award, the Silicon Valley Women of Influence, and 40 Under 40, Enterprising Woman of the Year, of which we actually have that award in common. And in the staffing industry, a lot of awards, including most recently the Staffing Industry Analyst Global Power 150 Women in Staffing. In other words, Sonu, there's no shortage of accolades for what you've accomplished. Before we get too deep into some of our questions, just please start by sharing with us your company, Acrya, which you co-founded with your husband, and when you decided to launch WBW and help women really reclaim their careers.
Thanks, Leslie, for listing out all those accolades. I'm extremely fortunate that there are several people that I'm surrounded with who uplift me. And thank you for hosting me on the Clear Edge podcast. I've loved listening to many of your podcasts, and the recent one in particular with Susan Salka was a favorite one of mine. My professional and personal life, Leslie, have run parallel courses, and I see myself constantly applying learning from each to the other, and maybe that's why I absolutely love what I do. I always like to introduce Acrya by talking about our purpose. And Acrya's purpose is to deliver 3x karma. One, we enable our clients to deliver revolutionary products. Second, we empower our consultants to pursue their dream jobs. And three, we inspire our employees to reach their full potential. Essentially, we are a technology consulting and staffing organization, and our values and core purpose are an inherent part of how we operate and run our business. And I'm so proud that this is our 20th year in business, and I just feel like we've come such a long way since the company was founded. Just before we had Acrya up and running, like many new mothers, I took time off to care for my newly born daughter. And although it was what I think a very short break of about 18 months, when I tried to return to work, I hit a brick wall. It was just a chasm I couldn't cross. I did eventually find a role and a hiring manager who really believed in my capabilities versus the gap merely on the paper that we call the resume. And so he really believed in my talent versus that gap. So naturally, when we founded Acrya, the fact that I'm a staffing company, the fact that I'm a woman, supporting women relaunching their careers was built into the core purpose. And today the program has become a movement. And today more than ever, we recognize the contributions made by mothers, caregivers, and those who take time off. And as we're in the midst of a pandemic, and this has hit women the hardest, and about 800,000 women have left the workforce, and one in four are considering dropping out, and women of color are severely impacted. And our program really enables women to gain financial independence, take recharge of their career journey, gain confidence, and be role models for their young children. It's a win-win because, on the other hand, leaders realize that this is a gold mine of talent that they cannot ignore, and they have diversity goals that they need to meet. And this is definitely a talent pool that they can tap into.
I applaud you on what you're doing. And first of all, focusing on karma and having such a positive influence just at the core of who you are as a company and that foundation. When you think about companies today and a lot of them focusing in on what should we be doing for diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and how should we be taking care of our teams and our employees, and what do we do to help support women in the workforce? You've been in business 20 years, and this is something that was at the core and the foundation of what you set up. It's not like you have to pivot and try to achieve that. You've been achieving that all along. And I have to say, your program really inspires me. And as an entrepreneur, when we look at choices to make when we're hiring people, we actually just hired someone. She just started on Monday, who is a mom coming back to work after several years of taking some time off. She was an executive in her past and wanted to get back into the workforce. And with her kids homeschooling, she really looked at it as an opportunity to be able to come back. And after several years, I was really excited to offer her that opportunity. And I know she's going to bring so much value to our firm. But I have to admit, I had your program in the back of my mind. And I know it's different than what we hired for specifically, but giving people a chance and really being their champion as they're looking for new opportunities is really important. So again, I really applaud you for the program. And you don't stop there. So we're going to talk about your time and your schedule and how you manage all of this a little bit later. But in addition to helping women really reclaim their careers, you are also part of an organization that mentors women from other countries called Peace for Business, a program that helps women who have been through really, in some cases, the unthinkable. You were kind enough to share with me some background information and videos and articles. And as I was preparing for this, I again was really moved by the opportunity to support women in countries who really are not supported. So if you wouldn't mind, please tell us about the program, your role, and perhaps share a story of one woman's journey. I do believe hearing that kind of personal side of it will really make this ring true and hit home for a lot of people.
Absolutely. I'm incredibly fortunate to have the opportunity to be a part of IEEW, which is also Institute for Economic Empowerment of Women, and their signature program, which is called Peace Through Business. The program is a business training and mentorship program for women entrepreneurs in two countries, Rwanda and Afghanistan. And we all know that advancing women and small business owners has a huge economic impact on any country. The program was an effort from First Lady Laura Bush to create opportunities for women in war-torn countries. And it started with Afghanistan, and later Rwanda was added. And she appointed Dr. Terry Neese from Oklahoma to lead it. And the program has three components. One is the in-country development, which is where about 30 women from both countries, Rwanda and Afghanistan, participate in workshops and learning and courses. And then 15 from each country are then selected to attend a leadership development program in Dallas at the AT&T University. And once they've gone through that training, they are then sent home with business mentors across the country. And I've had the honor to host students from both countries. Usually I host two from Rwanda, one from Afghanistan, or two from Afghanistan, one from Rwanda. Of course, we haven't hosted this year. But during this week, they live with me and shadow me and learn from me and my team as well. And it's amazing because when they leave, we all have tears in our eyes. And we always wonder, who is it that learned from whom? Because as much as they think they're learning from me, I feel like I've learned a lot. And what I would like to do is I'd like to share two stories. One is Fakhriya Mumtaz, who is one of the mentees that I've hosted here. And she is from Afghanistan. She has an IT business, but also an immense passion for yoga. She tells me stories where she's walking to her office and she hears explosions. And then she has to make a choice whether she should actually go to work or turn back. And she typically chooses to go to work. So you can imagine the circumstances she operates out of. But going back to, she has this passion for yoga. She started providing yoga lessons for her employees, very soon realized that it had benefits for women and her community and their well-being. It helps them really disconnect from the misery of their everyday life to the ongoing war. So then she decides to establish a fitness studio in Kabul. And why this story is so remarkable, Leslie, is that she is the first ever yoga instructor in Kabul, whereas there is no culture of yoga. She faces all these other challenges. And today she has about 100 women registered for these classes. And now she just told me last week that she's also developing an app for women who are actually unable to leave their home. So this is such an incredible story. And the second quick story I'd like to share is, I can't leave my sisters out in Rwanda, but Celine, who was another mentee of mine that I hosted, who's also recently written a book, and it's called Untamed. And her story will send jitters down your spine. The night of April 6th, and this was back in 1994, she lost her mother, three siblings, and more than 30 family members during the genocide. She had to go through a lot, but has rebuilt her life. And today she's a co-founder of Right Seat Limited. It's a business specializing in HR. Again, a remarkable story that reminds me of everything that we are blessed with and that we take for granted. Cheers to my, I call them my sisters from Rwanda and Afghanistan.
I remember reading her story in particular, and you're right, you said jitters going through your spine. I just kept thinking, first of all, how do you cope and how do you move on after you've been through something like that? And you realize when you start reading about it, how many people want to personalize that and think about what she's done to come out of that. It's truly incredible. And to have a mentoring program where you can give and help people, just kudos to you. Again, we'll talk about how you find the time to do all of this, but it goes back to, I think, the three times karma you mentioned, when you think about giving and the core of who you are as a person, a big piece of that because of your background and what you've been through yourself really fuels into that foundation of who you are. If people want to find out more about the program and read about some of the stories and maybe how they can get involved and engaged, what's the best way to do that?
I think the best way would be definitely to visit their website, which is iew.org. The team is always looking for e-mentors to work with the 30 women, both in Rwanda and Afghanistan, while they're going through the in-country development. But when they're hosted here in the United States, and we're hoping we'll host them in 2021 or 2022, the program does need mentors. And if a business owner is interested, you could even reach out to me. I served on the board of directors there, but I'm now on the advisory board. So happy to connect you with the right people as well.
Fantastic. And we'll get your contact information later here in the program. We talked a little bit about your upbringing and your past and how that's attributed a lot to your success. I was reading about you and just knowing you talk a lot about how your mom taught you to find strength in the face of adversity and never to give up and to be fearless, a lot like the women you talk about. And you describe, which he just sounds like such an incredible man, you describe your dad as a very giving man, so much that people would literally line up outside your home in India, where he would go above and beyond to try and help those in need. So Sonu, please, for the people listening, because again, this really builds into who you are and your DNA, paint a picture of your childhood and how that has driven who you are today and how you don't overthink it, because like you say, it's just in your DNA.
So for the last many years, I've just really pondered over why giving back or supporting young girls and women and important causes has been so important to me. And I could never find the answer until I really looked back into my childhood. And we all know that a lot of influences of who you become are from who you were in your childhood. So when I was young, my mother was diagnosed with a spinal cord tumor, and I was only 6 years old. That left her bedridden and paralyzed from neck down. And for many years, I never talked about it. But a few years ago, I did start to talk about it because I started to realize what an impact it had in my adult life. And so despite all that she faced at that time, she chose to live a full life and then also instilled in us the strength to face adversity and be fearless. She gave us a very normal life. As you can imagine, it may look very abnormal to live with a parent who is completely disabled, but she never made us feel like that. And then my father, despite having a disabled wife, was just always available for the community. And like you said, I still have visions of people lining outside our house. The poor man, I feel like at that time, wasn't able to get his afternoon nap, but he never turned anyone down and was always willing to help. And I always wondered, he had these two young daughters to raise and he had to take care of his wife, but then he always found time. In fact, just very recently, I found a picture of his that, and this is a Glory of India award that he won. And the other person that has won this award is Mother Teresa. So I always remind myself of how much he's given us in terms of setting a very strong example. So it is a part of my DNA. I have learned it first time from my father and my mother, both who have passed away, but I feel like this is my way of continuing their vision forward, and it comes very naturally.
They certainly would be very proud of what you're doing. So there's no doubt about that. It's really a touching story, especially of how you just taking care of your mother while growing up and your father and everything he went through and raising the kids and still finding time to give back to the community. There's a lot to be said about how you were raised, and you're right. And it's just part of your DNA, and you don't overthink it and you just do it. And it shines brightly for you, Sonu. So thank you for sharing that. I think it's important for people to hear because it explains so much about who you are. And again, when we think about the foundation of a company and a culture, it's so important when you hear a founder's story to know that it's real. You're legit when you're talking about the karma and so forth within your company. Yeah. There's a reason behind that.
Yeah, and I'm also very fortunate that I'm surrounded by many, especially women, Leslie, who are very compassionate, who have given me a lot to when I've asked and don't bat an eyelid when asked to support communities. So I think I just have been very fortunate to see those over my life, my mother and father, but also women that I've worked with, men that I've worked with, and just community champions that are always trying to do something and find a way to give back.
It's easy to give back to someone when you see how much they give back as well. And something, speaking of giving back, I talk a lot about mentors and finding a way to help rise people up in business and women up in their careers. And you've been known actually to say that mentors advise and sponsors act. Perhaps you could share with us a story where that was the case for you and what advice you have for women who are looking for sponsors of their own.
So let me share a real world example. And I share this because I have had mentors, and this is the time that where I actually was able to see the difference between a mentor and a sponsor. And this example is with Cisco. Acryo was invited to participate in Cisco's diverse supplier sponsorship program. And this is a 18-month highly structured program at Cisco, and several diverse suppliers are selected so that they can receive ongoing guidance, mentoring, and the support from Cisco. And amongst all the good things that the program really helps you with is that each company and that company's leader is matched with an executive sponsor at Cisco. And the program actually continues to have a positive impact. I participated in the program about, I think, 2 years ago, and it's led by Denise Lombard, who's the Director for Responsible Procurement at Cisco, and she sits in Global Procurement Services. So for me, this sponsorship program was a game changer. And I could see the difference between a mentor and sponsor because the leaders committed to me in a way where they knew that they needed to take action for the business owners and the program. So over the duration of that program, they helped me and, of course, others as well, provide cross-functional visibility across the organization. They helped me figure out, how do you navigate Cisco's culture? Who are the leaders in the organization? Who are the stakeholders? They took a great deal of time to understand my business. My executive sponsor, who's Nina Lualdi, and Denise both, they really understood what my challenges were running a business day to day, what my aspirations were. So the program was all about action, transformation, and long-term impact. And it's important to get positive feedback that I think we all get quite a bit. But to me, from the sponsor, to be able to get corrective feedback was very vital. They actually helped me tackle complex problems and then helped me drive the vision for the company. And to me, that was extremely beneficial, as through a lot of whiteboarding, spending hours with the leadership, I truly actually learned how to lead transformations and design a rewarding customer experience. And then really, how do I grow as a leader? It's amazing because as a sponsor, even though I'm not a part of the program today, I'm an alumni, Denise still continues to use her platform and reputation to champion my visibility internally at Cisco, but also externally within her peers, within the technology and procurement world. So I think to me that sponsorship has been just, like I said, life-changing, and it's been a game changer for the company. And you asked me a question about what would be my advice to others. I'd say really understand what is it that you're looking for and make a list of all of that you need from the sponsor. And then you need to find someone who is willing to use their influence to truly help you and that they truly believe in you. So I'd say that is definitely the advice I would have.
The use their influence to help you is such a key point, because it's one thing I remember reading, and I live by this too. So people who you mentor, they may say something to you like, I'm looking to build my personal brand. And one of your suggestions could be, you should look for speaking engagement. But something that a sponsor would do would say, you should look for speaking engagements, and I'm going to make some introductions for you and help you land some of those speaking engagements through their network and their connections. And it's just taking that extra step to really help them bring something to life as far as what they're looking to do. I love your Cisco story, mm-hmm. and that someone really took the time to invest in you in that way. And when they're out selling on your behalf and making introductions, even outside of their own organization, that you've made a mark in their mind as far as what you can do. It takes a strong person to open up their network for you, but they definitely had to see something in you to be willing to do that as well. Sonu, not only did you start your own company to help women in need, but you also sit on several boards. You've talked about that a little bit here today as well. And they have similar missions to what you do with your company and some of the work that you're doing for women in business and so forth. A lot of women I speak with, they want to get on boards. That said, it's another commitment. So your board roles seem to be very mission-based. I guess if you wouldn't mind, share your board journey with us and what advice you have for women looking to get on boards.
Yes, like you rightly said, I serve on two boards. One is the Silicon Valley Leadership Group Foundation Board, and then the IEEW. Both of them are nonprofit. And of course, I aspire to be on a corporate board. And I actually think there's never been a better time than today. Gavin Newsom, especially in California, signed Assembly Bill 979 into law, which requires public corporations to include directors from underrepresented communities. NASDAQ recently filed a proposal with USC. And if that's approved, companies are required to publicly disclose those diversity statistics. The advice I would have, and now that I'd like to be on corporate boards, the advice I'd give myself and the others is plan and be prepared, because when the opportunity knocks on the door, which it will because you've told the universe that you want to be on a board, then you don't want to turn it down. And there are several board-ready programs that you can prepare yourself with. So really put some time into the time frame, set some goals for yourself. I'd say let executive and people know that you are interested in serving on boards, and network will give your effort the sponsorship it needs. I'd say also begin to build your personal brand, because that is not an overnight journey. It takes time. And what's your story? I'd also say begin with a nonprofit board, because that's where you can gain some really good experience. Also, I would think that a lot of corporate boards, when they're looking for board members, especially diverse, they want to see a breadth of experience. Have you done some work in your community? So joining a nonprofit board is definitely a good place to begin with. And then lastly, you have a certain expertise that you bring to a corporate board, whether it's finance, operations, leadership, and start to build on those skills so that you're able to bring that expertise to the company. And one book I would recommend is by Betsy Atkins, and it talks about how you can be board ready, and it's called Be Board Ready, The Secrets to Landing a Board Seat and Being a Great Director. I recommend everybody reads it.
You've put it out in the universe. So hopefully have people listening on the corporate board front. And that's a pretty easy book title to remember. Betsy Atkins, Be Board Ready. And your point about having the expertise across different areas of a business is really critical. I think about myself with marketing, for example, and while a board may need someone with marketing expertise, you also need to get business. You need to get the business side of business, not just marketing, sales, operations, HR, all of those things, but something really important to keep in mind. And being on, to your point, a nonprofit board, you certainly get a lot of varied experience depending on what you're doing. And I would say lean on your own board too. If you happen to have one, they oftentimes are on different boards, and ask them for help. On the corporate board side, I have heard of a lot of women who have landed their first corporate board roles that way. So definitely a lot of great advice. Thank you for sharing that.
I love that you said your own advisory board. We just built an advisory board for WBW this year, and I could tell you that I've gained so much experience on how my board advises and mentors and coaches and the action items that they've been able to work with me on. So I think that's brilliant if you can build your own advisory board as well.
And something I want to mention too is I've been talking to a lot of executives lately, obviously with changes going on in the economy and people moving jobs and different positions and roles. And one of the things I noticed with a lot of the men that I'm talking to when it comes to board positions is if they're, you know, interviewing for a position, let's say, and it's a C-suite role and it doesn't happen to be a fit by their choice, they'll say something to the effect of, if you're looking to build out your board or you have an open slot, it's something that I'd be interested in. But it's also not just put it out to the universe, but ask too, because you don't know, sometimes there could be an open board seat or they're looking to add one and you could be the perfect fit for that. You have to your point, put it out to the universe. It's also okay to ask. So here we are. We recently had, and this is my kind of last question for you before we get into rapid fire questions, which are always a lot of fun. We recently had author Erica Kesman join Thrive, which was a women in staffing event through the American Staffing Association. And she had talked about two things that really resonated with me. One, how are you honoring the most important relationship, the relationship with yourself? And does your calendar reflect your values? I have to say, I've gone back since that, and I try every single day to think about that. What am I doing for myself? How am I honoring myself? And I look through my calendar, or if someone's requesting a meeting, trying to do a much, much better job of making sure it reflects my values and what's important to what I have to accomplish as well. We've talked a lot about the different programs and boards and your company and your mom and all of these amazing things. How do you, Sonu, this is like the magic question, I feel like, manage all things life? And I know it's a loaded question. Everyone has different ways of taking care of themselves and so forth. And it's always nice just to hear there isn't a silver bullet of balance. It's really unique to each person, but I do find it a value to learn from women who are conquering the world to hear how you do it. So how do you take care of yourself, your family, your company, the boards you sit on, and the people you mentor?
I'd like to claim that I have everything under control like any other mom and any other working woman. There's times where I feel overwhelmed and things fall apart. But here are a few things that I have learned and I apply on a daily basis that really help me manage things. I practice transcendental meditation every day, twice if possible, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening. It helps me focus, prioritize, helps me deal with my anxieties, manage stress, and find happiness in everything I do. And I think that's the underlying important thing. Find happiness in everything I do. Second, I exercise regularly, and it's a commitment I've made to myself, whether it's running, biking, yoga, it's a non-negotiable pact. And then when my daughter was young, I did it after I put her to sleep. But today I don't have excuses. She's 20 years old. So those are the two things I definitely do every day to keep me grounded and focused and stress-free.
Excellent. I love it. 20 minutes. And so you do two sets, if you can, of meditation a day. So that's 40 minutes, plus you exercise regularly. And if you heard everything else you have going on, what I love is that you've made it a non-negotiable for yourself. There's really no excuse. If you can find that time, I do believe we all can find that time. Sonu, let's go to some rapid fire questions. I have a handful for you here today. I could have talked to you forever just having read your background. So I'm really happy we were able to touch on a few things, but I've got the first question for you here. What was the turning point that changed your life forever?
I was in Chicago. I was at a conference. I was supposed to meet someone because I got turned down on a contract. And while I was in the cab, 5 minutes to get to the airport, I get a text from the person I sent a note to saying, hey, can I meet? He said, yes, let's meet at 4, but my flight's flying out at 11. I turned back, canceled my flight, made that meeting at 4. For me, that was just a defining moment saying, I just have to do what I have to do. It just gave me this energy. And I don't know what happened, but to me, that was the turning point that really changed my life.
Favorite part of being a mother?
Asking my daughter to help with writing or speaking. Like I said, she's 20 years old. She is a budding journalist, wants to change the world. So I feel like we both prepared each other for speaking engagements or conversations. And so in that respect, we're like peers, not like mother daughters, but we're still a mother daughter. And I love that. That's my favorite part.
That's fantastic. I'd love to talk to her sometime. Journalism is what I studied if she ever needs help. And I'm far from that with a 4-year-old son, but it's nice to live through the lens of others. Favorite part of being an entrepreneur?
That's easy. It's all about the people, to see our employees thrive and flourish and seeing their families be a part of the Acrya family as well. I love what I do, and it's because of the people.
Best piece of advice you ever received?
It was a birthday card from my father that said, for every challenge, there is a way over, under, across. You just have to find the solution.
I love that. One thing people would be surprised to find out about you.
Sounds funny. I love extreme sports. When you meet, when you meet me in person, it wouldn't seem like that, but I have bungee jumped. I have skydived. I have climbed Half Dome, Black Diamond skiing. So yes, I do love extreme sports.
We'd love to go skiing sometime together. What do you love about it?
I think it's the thrill that comes with it. And I feel over the years, I've learned that if I could do that, then because running a business is not easy, as you know it. And there's a lot of challenges you face and decision-making that you have to do and risk-taking that you have to do. So I think I compared both worlds of the extreme sports and then the business as well.
You got me on that one. I am surprised to find that out about you. Thank you so much for sharing your story and such great advice during our podcast here today. You've definitely given me a lot to think about, and I'm sure the listeners as well. And for those listening to the podcast, if they'd like to connect with you, what's the best way to reach you?
My email would be great. Connect with me on LinkedIn. That would be definitely something we could do. My email is sonu.ratra@akraya.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the podcast. And like I said at the outset, this has been a couple of years in the making, and I'm so happy that we were able to carve out this time together today. Your story is certainly one that is meant to be told and shared, and I'm sure will inspire all of those listening. So thank you so much. And thank you to the listeners who joined us today as well.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks for listening to The Edge. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to it in iTunes. Feel free to email Leslie at lvickery@clearedgemarketing.com and let us know if you have questions, would like to be a guest, or suggest a potential guest, or share topics you'd like to see in the future.